This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
For the final time in 2025, how are we doing today? McMonagle here with you. I got you for 5 hours. A five-hour ride. That's right. It's not to midnight. We'll be riding till midnight, though. Even the kiddies are riding to midnight tonight on this New Year's Eve. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. And again, we'll be taking your calls for 5 hours. We've got Nico on the other side. And we'll take you through this afternoon right here on The Fan. And you know, it is New Year's Eve. And I'm trying to be positive. I did the morning with Jerry on Monday, and he was trying to give me the bright side of the New York Giants. And we're going to start with the New York Giants, because I can't yell about Aaron Glenn any longer. I can't yell about the Jets. God knows we can't talk any, like, we can't, the hot topic isn't the baseball teams who are doing nothing, although I'm going to yell about them a little bit later. And we'll get to the Knicks and everything else, and maybe even give you some hot takes leading into 2026. And something that needs to be gone away with in 2026. We'll do that as well. We'll have some fun. We'll take your calls. 888-808-1019. But I'm trying to be positive about the Giants, right? Because I was talking to Brian Baldinger yesterday, and he gave me all the same things that Jerry gave me and all the same things that I can come up with, right? Jackson Dart, how good he looks, how confident I am in him, his ability to run and throw, the way he uplifted the team. Right? Any coach would want to come coach him. Any coach would want to come and coach Malik Nabers and Cam Scataboo and a bunch of talent on the defense. Right? And there's reasons to be positive. Get the right head coach in here. There should be some candidates out there available. We'll figure out if Mike Tomlin is available. We'll figure out possibly if John Harbaugh is available. It's probably most likely in my mind, outside of maybe someone mentioned yesterday the Bills letting go of McDermott. But outside of that, this should be the most prized job on the market after Black Monday. I truly believe that. And I believe there can be a fast turnaround. We have seen that in the NFL. It's built that way. We're watching the Bears win a division. We're watching the Patriots be one of the best teams in football. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that the Giants make this leap next year. And I'm trying to be positive, but I can't help myself because I am so damn scared of what's going to happen on Sunday. And here we are again. Yes, that's right. That is right. I am so freaking scared, and I'm going to make a statement right now. I'm going to make a statement right now that's hard. One final flip-flop before we head in to 2026. One final flip-flop. I am against Joe Shane. I don't think he's done a good enough job. I don't think he deserves to make the draft pick. I don't deserve he believes to be the GM. But you know what? Honestly, as I keep thinking about this, and I watch, you know, the clips that are coming out from Hard Knocks and HBO about, you know, Jackson Dart walking off the field, giving the pound to Joe Shane, saying we need to do more of this and everything. I honestly hope either he's coming back or the decision has already been made with Joe Shane and he knows what's happening. Because I'm telling you right now, if he believes that he has to win this game against the Cowboys, if he believes that, and you've already heard Mike Kafka come out and say that they're playing the game, that everybody's playing the full game, they're attacking it like any other game this year, it's balls to the wall, ladies and gentlemen, balls to the wall to make sure they beat the Dallas Cowboys the last game of the season. Balls to the wall. As the Cowboys are going to start Dak, but if you listen to the way the owner spoke on his radio show, right, they're not going to play him the whole game. So what it sounds like, Dak's not going to play this entire game. They just, cut Trayvon Diggs for wanting to stay with his family on Christmas. I have no idea what kind of game plan, I have no idea what kind of team the Dallas Cowboys are going to show up and want to be on Sunday afternoon. And I know this. When I tried to just paint that picture of the Giants being this team that could turn it around next year and be this attractive place to come and be the next head coach and take this team with the talent it has, part of that was that you had a top draft pick, a top draft pick. And I know we put all the emphasis on the Tank Bowl against the Raiders, right? And I'm bummed they won that game. We can get into all the different reasons why, but we could argue about that all we want. The fact of the matter is, right now, it's one thing to tell me they're going to be the two pick, right? And now we've got Dante Moore, who might come out of Oregon. Already a lot of talk about him being right up there. We'll see. There's other quarterbacks. Chris, you can't. It's not just a one quarterback draft. Other quarterbacks will make their way to the top, whether it's a pro day, whether it's the combine, whether it's obviously, whether or not, Moore comes out and how he plays in the tournament. Like, don't worry about it. Even at number two, you can get a big pick. You can get a big return. Because I got to tell you, Giant fans, and I know many of you disagree, but if we have to go through this slop of a season, watch the coach get fired, watch big lead after big lead slip through their fingers, ugly weekend after ugly weekend, losing game after game, falling down the standings, watching everything happen, keeping the GM, firing the coach, not firing the defensive coordinator, Mike Kafka looking lost, the concussion to Jackson Dart, the talk around Jackson Dart's game, the questions whether or not he's the future quarterback, watching injury after injury, another miserable, dead, disgusting New York Giant season on our hands yet again. And if I have to go through 16 weeks of that, only to have the one idea of the saving grace of the season to have a top pick when they already have the quarterback and the ability to trade back and get a ton of picks that can help fill out this roster that needs defensive backs, that needs safeties, cornerbacks, needs a linebacker, could always use offensive linemen, could use players all over the field to help put a roster around this young quarterback that we all believe in. That's what the minute Mendoza won the Big Ten championship and made those throws down the end of that game, that was the thought. He's a big time prospect. We're at the top of the draft. Let's get that big pick and have a big haul. And I'm telling you right now, if I have to go through 16 weeks, and that's the problem, not winning in week 17 and not maybe beating the Dallas Cowboys, but going through the 16 weeks hoping that they could get that big return. And now you look at it, and again, Dak, I don't know how much he's going to play, but it sounds like he's not going to play the whole game. They're having inward fighting about, Trayvon Diggs literally got cut because he wanted to stay with his family. At least these are the reports that he wanted to stay with his family in Washington and not fly back to Dallas. And they told him no, big argument. They've released one of their better players. Like, I don't know what kind of damage that will cause. And we'll get into that, whether it's, players playing on Christmas, Draymond Green complaining about it. He wants to stay with his family, told no, then he's released. I don't know what's going on inside the Cowboys. I don't know how hard they're going to play. They've got a coach in place. They've certainly got a GM in place. They have everything in place. Nobody needs to win that game. Nobody needs to prove anything. I wonder how much they're going to play. And the New York Giants, and this is why I think that I'm hopeful for the first time. I'm hopeful the reports are true. Because we know Mike Kafka is going to coach to win the game. We know the players on the field are going to play to win the game. But the decisions on the roster, whether it's Wandell Robinson, who's missing practice today because of ribs, Theo Johnson, who's sick, Abdul Carter, who's sick, they've got a handful of guys. Dexter Lawrence has been nursing an injury all year. Burns doesn't have to play this whole game. Dexter Lawrence doesn't have to play this game. Because if you look at it right now, the New York Giants, if they beat the Dallas Cowboys, they could fall to as far as 7. A lot of people called me up the other morning with Jerry and said, Chris, don't worry, second pick's just as good. It's just as good. And hey, theoretically, right, the Chiefs are playing a third-string quarterback. Raiders could win that game. The players want to win. Pete Carroll wants to win. He's probably getting fired. He wants to win that game. These are the teams that are ahead of the New York Giants right now, or behind the New York Giants right now in the draft. Tennessee with 3 wins, tied with the Giants with 3 wins and behind them in the draft. Tennessee at Jacksonville. Arizona, they're playing at LA against the Rams. The New York Jets with 3 wins at Buffalo. And then you've got Washington at Philly with 4 wins, Cleveland at Cincinnati. If the Giants win, they would fall behind every other team on that list that would lose. They could fall back as far as seven. As far as seven. And I'm telling you right now, that is not the way to kick off the new year for Giant fans. If you make me sit through this slop for 16 weeks, watch this garbage for 16 weeks, and then give me two meaningless wins like you did 2 years ago when Tommy DeVito cost them Daniels or May. If they go out and beat the Dallas Cowboys, and I hate that they've done this to me, and I hate I have to root against them against the Cowboys, but I'm telling you right now, what if the Giants fall back to seventh and kiss goodbye the idea of trading and making a haul of a bunch of picks, instead take the seventh best player in what is best described as a mediocre draft, I am going to be sick. I don't know what kind of team Dallas is going to be on Sunday. And I'm sorry. I hate to do this one more time in. I hate to do it. I hate to do it the last. I want to be positive. But part of the positivity around the New York Giants is having that top pick. And I can't go from owning and having control of the first round pick the last 2 weeks of the year and then falling all the way to seventh. You can paint me the brightest picture. You can tell me how much beating the Cowboys will help them. Not if the Cowboys take Dak off the field. Not if the Raiders give up and don't play their best players. There is nothing to be gained. Nothing. This team has won playoff games and followed it up with 40-0 to the Cowboys week one of the next season. There is nothing to be gained. And I'm sorry, as I sit here and I think about Dak not playing, the Cowboys having nothing to play for, and the possibility of a GM still feeling like he is under some scrutiny and that he would like to give the Maras and the Giants organization a win against the division-hating Cowboys, who they haven't beaten forever, at home in front of, I don't know, several fans of the New York Giants at MetLife Stadium. And you've got a coach who's trying desperately just to be relevant and still get an offensive coordinator job probably next year. And a quarterback who desperately wants to win. And a team who feels like, you know, doing what they do. And I'm watching the highlights. You got them going up and down the bench, you know, pumping themselves up against the Raiders. Real excited to win this football game. It's one thing to fall from 1-2. If the New York Giants are standing there in April with the same GM and the seventh overall pick, I'm sorry, that is an enormous gut punch to me as a New York Giant fan who waded through 16 weeks of crap. We were Andy Dufresne. We were Andy Dufresne for 16 weeks, crawling through a tunnel of crap. And to get on the other side clean was a top pick that they can trade and get a huge haul for, and add a ton of players to this roster. And if we come out of that tunnel only to stand in a puddle, and that the rain had already stopped, and we're standing there filthy with the seventh overall pick, I'm going to be annoyed. Let's not start the new year like that. 888-808-1019. Giants need to lose this game desperately, because I just can't. Because, again, the bigger point is, that pick is what makes it enticing. Right now, we have major concerns about this general manager and whether or not the idea that you would have a general manager with this many losses attached to his name, a young coach, an experienced head coach, whomever, is not going to want to come in, join an organization, work with hand in hand a GM, build that relationship, get hired by this GM who's leading the search, get off to a lousy start or have a rough year one for whatever reason, and then feel like immediately that GM is on the hot seat because he can't afford another losing season. Coaches don't want to come into an unstable situation. It sounds like the Giants are going to give them that. You also have to give them the top pick, not the seventh pick, where you could take an Evan Neal. Not the seventh pick, where you're talking about one player to impact this roster instead of the massive haul that could be coming. and I hate it. And I'm sorry, but I can't get over the fact that yet again, last week we had to do it, this week we have to do it, and yet again, the New York Giants are going to be playing the Dallas Cowboys, the most bitter rival for many Giant fans. For me, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. But for many Giant fans, the Cowboys are the worst. They haven't beat the Cowboys in forever. Dak Prescott has not lost to the New York Giants since his rookie season. Has not lost to him since his rookie season. And I got to sit there and hope he plays the whole game. And hope they beat the crap out of the Giants. Because a loss is a disaster. And I'm so sick of this organization putting me in this position. But as I was looking through it today, Dan Duggan, who covers the Giants for The Athletic, was talking about it. They could fall back to as far as seventh. I hate to say it, but I hope Joe Shane's in place. I hope he's in place and he recognizes this game has to be treated the way the Cowboys are treating it. Dexter Lawrence does not need to play this whole game. Burns does not need to play this whole game. Wandell Robinson, if he's got a rib injury, he sits. Abdul Carter, not feeling well, doesn't have to play the game. Theo Johnson, not feeling well, go work on your hands in the offseason. We'll see you next year. It's one thing to move from one to two. You can't fall to seventh. 888-808-1019. So a little positivity as we head into the new year. Another great New York Giant team that we have to root for to lose at the end of the year. Isn't it wonderful? Let's hope next year in this position, we're talking about a Giant team getting ready for the playoffs. And what helps that happen a hell of a lot more than winning some meaningless game against the Dallas Cowboys is being able to get a haul for a first or second pick and changing this franchise. That's what needs to happen, not some meaningless win at the beginning of the new year so that we all feel better. Feel better about what? 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the fan. We'll come back, take your calls. We'll get into a little bit of baseball. We can get back to the Eli Manning conversation I heard Moose doing before. I'm sorry, Giant fans. We'll get into it. I talked a little bit about it yesterday. I don't think Eli Manning is getting in this year. And I got to tell you, I understand why. 888-808-1019. More of your calls as we take you through the rest of your afternoon to the early evening on this New Year's Eve. McMonagle here with you till then. 888-808-1019. Be right back.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
What really made me think of this is I saw the video. I don't know if you've seen it. Jackson Dart, I haven't watched the Hard Knocks. I don't have it in me to watch it. I'll be totally honest with you. But I've seen the clips coming out of it. Jackson Dart walking off the field into the tunnel after the Raiders win, seeing Joe Shane, giving him a pound and telling him, we need to do more of this. And Joe Shane going, I know. Be nice. I know. Try in the first 16 weeks. That helps. Try before you're the first team eliminated from the postseason. I'm just a suggestion. Just a suggestion. But it feels like, and then Kafka comes out after I hear Jerry Jones tell us that, yeah, we're going to play Dak, we're going to start him, but you know how we use him from there, you know, it's a game plan decision. Like, they're not going to play Dak the whole game. Diggs isn't there. He was sent home, literally, at least according to the reporting, after the game in D.C., I guess that's where a lot of his family is. He wanted to stay there and just not fly back. And they told him no. And he was like, well, I mean, if I fly back to Dallas with the team, I'm just going to fly back to Washington. Can't I just stay? And they told him again, no, you got to fly back with the team. And then, for whatever reason, he gets cut. So I don't know what's going on with that team right now. They have fallen apart here, really, for the most part. I know they won the game on Christmas or, you know, but I mean, they have nothing to play for. and the Giants are out there trying to win meaningless games. And I understand why the players want to. I understand why Jackson Dart wants to. I'm not suggesting Jackson Dart should walk up to Joe Shane in the hallway and go, oh, this one meant nothing. Like, I get it. I get it. It means nothing to me, but I get why it means something to Jackson Dart. I'm not trying to take that away from him or say he's being childish or foolish and these games mean nothing. I understand why it means something to him. And it should. It should. And he, if on the field this Sunday, he should play his ass off to go beat the Cowboys. That's what he should do. No one ever has suggested, no tank person, whoever who believes in losing these games, suggests that the players should go out there and lose. I'm not suggesting Jackson Dart should throw incomplete passes on purpose. He should go out there with every intention of playing his best game and beating the Cowboys. But at this point, the New York Giants need to step in. And if the Cowboys are going to take players off the field, so should the Giants. Because picking seventh, and again, these are the every one of these teams that lose, the Giants will fall behind. Every single one of them. When you even Washington and Cleveland, who have four wins, if they end up tied, they have the better strength of schedule, or the worst strength of schedule, and will jump the Giants. If Washington loses at Philadelphia, if Cleveland loses at Cincinnati, if Tennessee loses at Jacksonville, if Arizona loses at the Rams, if the Jets lose at Buffalo, any of those teams on that list lose, the Giants fall behind them. And if every one of them loses, the Giants pick seventh. 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 I had to go through 16 weeks of being the worst team on the planet, being the first team eliminated, firing the coach, dysfunction, blown leads. We had to go through all that so we could finalize the season with two meaningless wins and draft seventh? Gonna have a tough time with that one. Andrew and Shirley, what's up, Andrew?
Hey, C-Mac, thanks for having me on.
You got it, buddy.
Listen, and by the way, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yep, looking forward to it. But listen, I get the sentiment, and I don't even disagree that it would be a bummer to drop that many picks, and it's no doubt that it's better for this organization to be picking top two than it is to be pick seventh. But it's a waste of time and energy to have this conversation. Unfortunately, we have it a lot every year, it seems like. Mm-hmm. But it's a waste of energy and time because you're right. The organization can make maybe certain moves, but after that's done, if they pick the right players to come off the field, it's over. Like, there's nothing you do about it. Those players who go on the field are going to try to win.
I understand that.
Period.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm taking it. I'm saying that the New York Giants need to act in kind. This general manager should not be out there making decisions based on the future. Based on this game alone, he should be making decisions based on the future and not trying to save his job by keeping every player on the field. If Wandell Robinson has a rib problem, then he shouldn't play. If Theo Johnson isn't feeling well, then he shouldn't play.
I get it. If someone is truly, and here's the example I want to use, though. We have players that are in this organization who are already semi and have every reason to be disgruntled with the ways things have been, like Dexter Lawrence. You got Neighbors who have his injured. He does his own tweeting here and there. He gets pissed off. We need to also be careful on who you go to and make sure that they also co-sign on their own benching. Mm-hmm. Because look what happened with the Raiders, who you're saying did the right thing in the way they're tanking right, and all that stuff. And their star pass rusher is mm-hmm. making a mockery of the whole organization, is very pissed off, storming out of the building and yep. posting videos online to make a mockery of them. So you got to be careful with the whole right thing to do.
Do I? Because let me ask you a question. Have the Raiders done a good enough job making a mockery of themselves? Do you feel differently now about the Raiders and their franchise because their superstar edge rusher is posting videos of him playing basketball?
I think it's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing. You know what's a good thing? Getting the quarterback and winning games. And if they get the quarterback and win games, guess who's going to be the happiest guy on the team?
But it's different for us, though. We have a quarterback.
I understand that. I understand that. Go win games next year. Believe in this process. Win games next year. Look, I don't disagree with your sentiment, right? You got to be careful. You don't want, players want to win these games. Players want to play. I get it. Players need to understand they should have held on to the 19-0 lead against the Denver Broncos. Like, now it's time to do what's best for the franchise. And for them. Because I'll tell you what, I don't know what Dexter Lawrence feels, and I understand that, Certain players get mad. Dexter Lawrence hasn't played the same all year, nursing an injury. You want to re-aggravate it the last week of the season in a meaningless game? Like, truly? Wandell Robinson just reached 1,000 yards. Wandell Robinson has proven anything he's going to prove to anybody who wants him in free agency. You want to hinder that free agency getting hurt and breaking ribs in this game to beat the Dallas Cowboys? Like, Jackson Dart has been, the conversation around Jackson Dart and the way he plays and the nature in which he could injure himself. Does Jackson Dart honestly, I mean, and again, this is something you have to, is Jackson Dart best served getting a concussion in this game against the Cowboys? Now, I don't think he plays that reckless. I'll be the first one to tell you. I think he takes care of himself more than other people do, and I think it's a narrative that has been just wildly taken out of control, and everybody just says it. The quarterback, I've been saying this for weeks. I heard Marash say it yesterday. Our guy Art Stapleton has been writing about it for weeks. Other quarterbacks get praised for their toughness, diving for first downs and into the end zone, and for some reason Jackson Dart is labeled reckless for doing it. I've seen Chris Collinsworth. I've seen multiple broadcasters comment about J.J. McCarthy and his toughness, comment about other quarterbacks and their toughness, while Jackson Dart plays reckless, and it won't be sustainable. So it bothers me, that narrative, but you want to really get into that? End your season on an injury, beating the, you know, trying to beat the Cowboys in a meaningless game at the end of the year. Other teams are going to do it. They did it last year against Philadelphia. They took out guys last year against Philadelphia. They should not do what... I'm sorry. Against the Raiders, I get it. Against the Raiders, I get it. This is now the last game of the year. And if the Cowboys are going to treat it as such, and Dak's going to play and then come off the field, if the Cowboys can treat it like that... Like, I just said a whole bunch of stuff. I know we're here in New York. Has anybody... Is anybody complaining that Dak might not play the whole game? Why? The only difference is they're not necessarily doing it for a draft pick, and the Giants would be. Who cares? They're doing it the same. They're doing the same thing. John in Oxford, Connecticut. What's up, John?
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Happy New Year.
Listen, Happy New Year to you.
I remember about I want to say 5 weeks ago. I want to say this was after the Cowboys won 3 in a row. And you were talking about, although you are a proponent of tanking, you were saying this season was different because you wanted to see Jackson Dart beat the Cowboys when they needed a win. Okay, now, I know the Cowboys don't need the win, but irregardless...
Well, that changes everything. And irregardless isn't a word. It changes everything.
It was going to be a meaningless game for the Giants no matter what.
I didn't think it was. No, it wasn't. I think it's different if you're going to knock the Cowboys out of the playoffs. I think it's different.
So when did it change?
That game. The minute they didn't need it, and I'm told Dak Prescott's not playing.
Okay. So let me ask you this.
And the idea that they went from, at that point when I was saying it, I had no expectation that the Giants would be holding on to the first overall pick on week 17.
Yeah,
it changes.
Yeah, well, it
circumstances
it
change, so the
then,
opinion changes.
Well, okay, the opinion changes, but you could have forethought that. I mean, the thing was, you were a guy who has always said, you lose if you have to lose to get the pick.
Yes.
And
I'm still saying that today.
You were telling us callers you were breaking your rule because of what you thought you wanted.
I said I would be willing to break my rule if it meant knocking the Cowboys out of the playoffs. That's not the situation today.
Yes, but the thing was, you don't know that until right now. Meaning, let me ask you this.
No, I knew that early on when the Cowboys lost to the games that were necessary to keep them afloat. I've known it for weeks.
Okay, but let me ask you
this. You're calling me hypocritical for saying if these circumstances happen, my opinion would change. The circumstances didn't happen.
Can I throw you a scenario?
Yes.
Please? Okay. The Cowboys do exactly what they have done, but the Giants have just won 3 in a row. Meaning the Giants are not going to get the number one draft pick. They are nowhere near it. Yeah. Jackson Dart is playing great. What do they do the last game of the season?
I wouldn't care as much. I guess I would want them to go out there and play well.
When you were saying all of that then, it was really dependent upon the draft.
Well, yes, and I said that, though, John. You're making it seem like I didn't say that. When I talked about that set of circumstances, I laid out the set of circumstances very clearly. Those set of you're making it sound like I just said willy nilly. If it's the Cowboys at the end of the year, then I hope they beat the Cowboys. I laid out a very specific set of circumstances that would get me off my staunch tanking belief. I said that. I said, you know what? And I even probably said I'm contradicting myself, but the idea of knocking the Cowboys out of the playoffs would be so enticing that I would consider it. That's what I said. I'm not saying I didn't say those things, but now you're trying to derive that to make me hypocritical in this situation. I'm not going against anything I've ever said. I said if that set of circumstances arises, I would be open to the idea of winning that game. At that point, I did not believe the Giants would lose out. I did not, because they were still playing some lousy teams. And I did not believe that, and they didn't have the number one pick. The Cowboys were still in the playoffs, and I painted a scenario where I might change my mind. The scenario didn't arise, and it hasn't been on the table for weeks. Like, you're literally trying to, and you even said the term, aha, you're trying to get me into like an aha moment. I laid out a set of circumstances that could change my mind. Those circumstances didn't play out. So, hence, I have not changed my mind. You guys are funny. David in Yonkers. What's up, David?
Yes. Hi, Chris. Look, I listen to you a lot. I like you quite a bit, but I have to admit this, the conversation about the Giants winning, losing, or how the winning will hurt them. Yes, mm-hmm. it will hurt the draft process. But the thing is, the players who play are going to play to win. Mm-hmm. The coach is going to want to try to win at least one more game than he's already won. He's only won one.
Yes.
So he's certainly not going to pull players who are able to play. And I think that's the same with the GM.
That's what I'm saying. The GM needs to handle it differently. They need to handle it differently.
But he's not. But I think.
All right, and the Jets aren't going to fire the head coach. So I guess yesterday was pointless, too. Like, what should we do?
No.
What would you like to talk about?
I'm just saying that I think we're going round and round in circles on this.
No, we're not. This is different. The Cowboys have come out and said they're not. Like, he did an interview and made it very clear they're not going to play their team. The Cowboys are going to pull players off the field. Right?
Did they say who or how many?
Dak,
or?
The quarterback, Dak Prescott, is not going to play the entire game against the Giants. Jerry Jones made it pretty clear that there is a game plan for how Dak Prescott is going to play the game. They are not going to play the game. The Giants are. That concerns me, and they shouldn't. They shouldn't. Because getting the seventh overall pick at the end of this season is a disaster for the organization. Forget me and whether or not I'm being hypocritical, which I'm not, by the way, or forget me and my opinion on it. It's going to hurt the Giants. Winning the football game is going to dramatically hurt the Giants. The difference between 1 or 2 and 7 is enormous. It's enormous. Go look at the draft value board that was made all those years ago. Go look at it. Go look at it. Go see what the Giants can get for this draft pick. That's what the light at the end of the tunnel was, their ability to do this. They could fall to 7. If Dak Prescott comes out of the game, explain to me why it's important for the Giants not to do the same. Explain to me why this GM should and this coach shouldn't handle it the same way. And again, they did it in Philadelphia. I am urging the Giants to do it again. Do it again. I'm honestly, for several reasons now, and this is what I said before, I am hopeful that the Giants, I'm hopeful the reports are true at this point. I know this is contradictory for sure. You want to call me up and call me a hypocrite, here you go. I'm almost at the point, and I did say this Monday with Jerry, I'm almost at the point where I honestly want Joe Shane back. I want Joe Shane back for two distinct reasons.
One, I've just made it very clear, I don't want him making decisions on this roster based on the idea if he wins the game, it'll help him keep his job. I don't want him thinking that, because it shouldn't be about him keeping his job. It should be about what's best for the franchise. And you can't make an argument that making sure his players are healthy and doing their best to secure the second overall pick is better for their job, better for the team. It just is. And two, quite honestly, if the organization is looking at this game as some sort of, you know, something to weigh their decision on whether or not to keep Joe Shane, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. If that decision hasn't already been made, it's asinine. So the report from Pat Leonard is Joe Shane is going about his business as if he is going to be back next year. If that's the case, make the right decisions and don't let the Cowboys go and pull players while you're out there trying to desperately win to go from 2-7 in the draft. Do the smart thing. Make sure Dexter Lawrence ends the season healthy. Make sure your best players end the season healthy. And make sure you're not picking 7th in this draft. Because if you think that isn't a detriment to the team, I don't know what to tell you. Harvey in Dix Hills. What's up, Harvey?
Hi, Chris. I want to congratulate you on your new old gig.
Thank you.
Number one, because you earned it. Number two, you're smart. And number three, you're great with the callers. That's
Thank
my
you very
opinion.
Much. Well, I appreciate that, Harvey. Very nice.
And I hope you continue that, okay? Okay, I want to talk about the Giants.
I don't plan on getting stupid on Monday, so
no, you won't.
We'll try and keep it going.
Anyway, I want to talk about Jackson Dart first. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the station knows I wanted him 3 months before the draft last year because of his stats in Mississippi, et cetera, et cetera. He is the real deal. He is their franchise quarterback, and I think that's a given right now. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, changing your mind, we all do it, okay? Last year, Mark Melissa asked me, who would I fire? I said Shane, okay? Mm-hmm. And keep the coach. I've changed my mind because, not because of some of the reasons I've heard, I did because of his last draft. It was his best draft with Dart, Scatterbill, Bowe. Don't forget, Bowe was the first lineman they drafted in years, in 3 years, and Tracy was the one that recommended him from Purdue. So because of that draft, I think you need that continuity. The scouts have worked on the next draft, and I need to. He needs to come back. I really do believe that.
I mean, at this point, I don't disagree with you, Harvey. It's, I think that decision's already been made. At this point, it just seems like it would be indecisive from the organization to now change from Joe Shane. As much as I don't think he deserves to be the guy, I think you're right. They've been working on this draft. He's currently looking at all. I just saw Jacina Anderson is reporting that the Giants have an initial list of coaches they're going to talk to. He is literally leading the coaching search. Him and his scouting team have been working the draft. Like, at this point, you got to keep him. I don't want him making decisions based on this game. Like, it's just, like, I was thinking about it today. I think that's really, and I know I'm yelling a lot about tanking, but that's really the point of the whole thing is, I think it's past the point of firing Joe Shane. I think at this point, just keep Joe Shane. Keep him for one more year. I don't love it. I mean, but it just seems all the reporting indicates that the Giants still want to have him be the guy. So the idea that something could happen over the last couple weeks, like say even 3 weeks ago he wanted to be the guy, but they were open to the last 3 weeks being so bad. And you know, like when people say that, I would say, so does the Raider game make you feel better about him? Like, none of it makes any sense. When they fired the coach and kept him, I always thought they announced that he was going to be leading the search for the coach. Like, I just always thought that was it. He's going to come back. Why would they do that? They didn't just fire Brian Daboll and leave it at that. They fired Brian Daboll and praised Joe Shane. Praised him. And then indicated he would be running the search for the head coach. Why would they do that? Like, they didn't have to do that. They could have just fired Brian Daboll and said, you know, we want to thank Brian for the hard work he's put in the last 3.5 years, and we appreciate him and good luck in whatever he does next. And that could have been the end of the press release. I know there would have been questions about Joe Shane, but that could have been the end of the press release. And then the questions about Joe Shane could have been, well, everything's up in flux, but we didn't feel like that was a prudent decision at this time. It's all the Giants had to say. Instead, Joe Shane has done a masterful job. Joe Shane has built a young core of this team that we believe in. Joe Shane is smart. Joe Shane has helped our scouting department in ways we can't even express to you. We believe in him, and he is running the search for the head coach. And yet, because they've lost games, I still hear, well, they're not going to keep him at the end of the year. They just told us what they think about him. Getting blown out by the Patriots is going to change that? He was always coming back, and at this point, he absolutely should. I mean, he just should. Tony in Delaware. What's up, Tony?
Well, hey, C-Mac, I didn't hear any singing today, but that's all cool, you know. I always love hearing the Golden Pipes.
I sang a little bit. Maybe the mic didn't pick. I sang a little bit on the open, but I'm trying to save to save the voice a little bit. The voice has been it's been a little wonky for the last month, and kind of a big week coming up, so I'm going to try and just make sure I don't go into Monday with a little bit of a hoarse throat. That's the last thing I need.
Gotcha. And just one other accolade. I always thought that you should have been a replacement for Mike Francesa, you know, like similar voices and great talent. So now it's happened. So awesome.
I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I mean, I should have already had the job for half a decade. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I'll take it on Monday. Thanks. Thank you very much.
All right. Sounds great. But just on that analogy, with the Dufresne analogy, what the Giants has put us through,
yeah,
that is masterful. And it, unfortunately, we don't have a GM like Harry Roseman or out there in Philly, because I guarantee they would have that number one pick, and they probably, you know, and look, everyone needs to know that we want the pick not to get rid of Dart. We want the pick
right,
so we can get more picks. Okay.
Yeah.
From the teams that need a quarterback. So
yes,
everyone needs to stop like, oh, we want to get rid of Dart. No,
no,
we want the picks, but we're not savvy enough, unfortunately, to make that happen.
Look,
so,
I understood last week on some level. I truly did. They hadn't won forever. Jackson Dart needs to play. If you decide to play guys, you play them. They weren't going to lose to the Raiders anyway. Like, but now, if the Cowboys are taking guys off the field, like, if we're going to treat this like the final week of the season, right? It's the final week of the season. It means nothing, right? There's two games being played that will decide playoff teams. Outside of that, it's all about seeding. Everybody knows who's going home. Everybody knows who's moving on. Like, if you have players who are banged up in the slightest, and you know the Cowboys are taking those players off the field, like, I'm just saying. You're right. Andy Dufresne, crawling through a tunnel of crap. Like, that's what we have been this for years, year after year, that's us. And as a Giant fan, we were able to cling to the idea over the last few weeks of getting a massive haul for a quarterback. We don't need the quarterback. I think that's part of it. It's almost more exciting, right? You want to get your franchise quarterback at the top of the draft, but that is such a crapshoot, right? Fans are so afraid to take that quarterback. Fans are so terrified of getting that wrong. I mean, how many times you hear the phrase, you take the wrong quarterback, it sets you back half a decade. Like, everyone says that. It could set you back 5-6 years to draft the wrong quarterback. We've seen the Jets draft the wrong quarterback time after time after time, or at least, you know, Sam Darnold felt like the wrong quarterback, although he's done quite well over the last couple of years for himself. We're not in the right. We don't have the team to develop a young quarterback. We don't have the infrastructure around him. It would just be another bust, you know. But the idea of now being at the top of the draft and willing to, like, look at the trades. Look at the Trey Lance trade. Look at what you get. Look at what you get for having a top pick from a needy quarterback team. Like, that's what the Giant fans have been able to hold on to for the last 3 or 4 weeks, that even through the losing, we have our quarterback. We do believe, despite not wanting Joe Shane, that some of the things said about him in building this young team, we do believe in Neighbors. We do believe in Cam Scataboo. The offensive line has been better than the last few years. Andrew Thomas is a Pro Bowl-level left tackle. Dexter Lawrence, although had a down season, we expect a year removed from the injury to be back to who he was last year. You know, Burns has been an elite, game-changing type edge rusher. Abdul Carter, you know, yes, some, you know, issues of being a young player and, you know, not having his head on straight to start his career and, you know, not being the professional he needs to be, but he's also getting a lot of pressures for a young kid and has a great pedigree that we all expect, as long as he does get it straight and his head together, that he'll be a great player. Like, there's a lot of reasons why a new head coach coming, the best coaching job on the market because of the quarterback, because of that young talent, and because of the idea they will have a top pick. And again, if this was just, well, they'll move from 1 to 2, or they'll move from 2 to 3, they could fall to 7. And again, every team that they would need to win is on the road. Washington at Philly, Cleveland at Cincy, Tennessee at Jacksonville, Arizona at the Rams, New York at Buffalo. Like, and who knows? Who knows how Philadelphia is going to treat that game? Who knows how Jacksonville is going to treat that game? You know, the Rams have come out after losing 2 in a row. I'm sure they're going to at least want to put a good foot forward heading into the postseason and possibly avoid having to go on the road to the Patriots or something like that. Buffalo is not going to want to lose to the Jets. But yeah, I mean, who knows? Who knows what happens with the Raiders in Philadelphia, in Kansas City? But I know I didn't watch 16 weeks of crap to win 2 meaningless games and then jump from 1 to 7. Sean in New Jersey. What's up, Sean?
C-Mac, how are you? Happy New Year. Congratulations to you.
Thank you very much.
Good, good. Imagine having this conversation if the Giant fans didn't have the luxury of having their starting quarterback.
No, it would be crazy.
Entirely different.
Yep.
Entirely different conversation. I would just caution the Giant fan in thinking there's going to be this massive haul for that number one pick, right? Like, you look at mock drafts, you look at opinions, like, there's not even a clear defined number one pick in this draft, never mind a quarterback, right? Like, you got the kid from Oregon, some yep. people like the kid, obviously, Mendoza from Indiana, other folks, you know, like the kid from Alabama. I mean, there's a defensive lineman in there that could possibly even edge out, you know, a quarterback
yeah, but for this
with
conversation,
the number one pick.
No, he won't. No way. Quarterback's going one. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Quarterback is going one.
What quarterback do you like?
I mean,
you
like Mendoza? I do like Mendoza. Mendoza to me is the quarterback. And I think he's going to be the number one pick. And I mean, listen, what did you think of Trey Lance coming out of college? Because there was mixed opinions on him, and they got an enormous haul for trading him. Or the opportunity to draft him. All it takes is one team to believe in that quarterback. This is what the NFL is based on. The Jets need a quarterback right now and have first round picks to burn. That's just a fact. That's a fact. They need a franchise quarterback. If Mendoza wins the Heisman, wins the Big Ten championship, wins the national title at a traditional basketball school in Indiana, like, I'm telling you. And looks good doing so. I don't care what you say or what people are saying now. He is going to be highly coveted in that first pick. And the Raiders, if they're sitting there, will take him. No defensive lineman is jumping up to number one. Not happening. As good as he may be, as good as the linebacker might be, like, it ain't happening. Quarterback's going one. Quarterback's going two. And I really don't want to find out who's going seventh. 888-808-1019. We'll come back. Talk a little bit more Giants, continue to take your calls. We'll get into a couple of things that need to go in 2026. Maybe a couple of hot takes for a couple of teams heading into 2026 to have a little fun on New Year's Eve. I got you till 7 o'clock right here on The Fan. We'll come back right after the break. Continue with your calls right here on The Fan.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.